Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to Gumbo Yaya, brought to you by Buku Publishing and Sable Hunter. Tonight I'm very pleased to be able to have as my guest author Frank Bourne. Frank is the author of The Captain and the Queen and The Captain of Her Heart and is very involved with Mardi Gras, so he'll be sharing a lot of information with us tonight. Welcome, Frank.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on the show. And happy Mardi Gras.
Yeah, happy Mardi Gras to you. Let's go ahead and jump right into it. For those of us who have never been to Mardi Gras, and all we really know might be that Mardi Gras is a big party that you have in New Orleans. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of Mardi Gras and exactly what it is?
Yes. It was actually originated in Mobile, Alabama, is where it started in the United States. And then it came to New Orleans in the mid-1800s. And it's primarily pagan celebration based in the heritage of Catholicism. Much of southern Louisiana is Catholic, and it's a party that leads up to the day before Ash Wednesday, which is the beginning of Lent. So carnival, which pretty much defines the whole season, means farewell to flesh, because it's the last bit of partying before everybody has to abstain during the Lenten season. So Mardi Gras is actually Latin for Fat Tuesday, which is the day before Ash Wednesday. And for several weeks prior to Mardi Gras, there'll be different parades throughout the city as different organizations made up of family, friends, and other groups put on their own parade. With a theme and with costumes that match the theme to celebrate. People gather on the parade routes to wait for the parade. They'll have families with barbecue pits, picnic lunches, lots of alcohol sometimes.
Yeah.
And, the kids play while they're waiting for the parade, and then when the parade comes, kind of unique to New Orleans is that the riders actually throw things from the floats. They throw beads and coins, which are doubloons, and toys. And it kind of represents the wealth, distribution of wealth and, throwing trinkets to the masses. There are several parading organizations that have been parading since the 1800s. Rex is the most visible. That's Latin for king. So he rides on Mardi Gras Day and is really the icon of Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
So tomorrow will be Mardi Gras. So what will be the finale for tomorrow?
Well, for the last 2 weeks, there have been parades, almost nightly. And then tomorrow morning, Rex, the king of carnival, will lead his crew and the crew of Zulu and then truck parades through the city. And then tomorrow night, Rex will meet with Comus, who is one of the older organizations in Mardi Gras in New Orleans, and they have a meeting of the royal court close to midnight, and that pretty much closes out the carnival season. The police go through the French Quarter on horseback, telling everyone at midnight that Mardi Gras has ended. Please go home. Finish your celebrations indoors, and then that's it. No more partying and parading and stuff like that.
That's pretty cool.
Tomorrow night. Yeah,
and there's lots of mass balls and stuff like that.
Yes, most of the crews have a mass ball. Some of them, it's right after their parade. Some of them, it's a few weeks prior. It's always black tie, women in formal gowns, and it's you know, different groups have different ways of partying and celebrating Mardi Gras.
Uh-huh. Now, when you say each crew, is that just like each organization is a crew that's participating?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes,
and how do you choose your theme? You are involved in a crew, correct? What was your theme?
So our theme this year was Land of the Free, Home of the Brave. It was a patriotic theme, and we had, for example, floats representing Uncle Sam, Founding Fathers, Victory, World War II, and then the branches of the military. We had a float for each branch, and, you know, we threw red, white, and blue throws and stuff like that. Last night, a parade I went to, the theme was children's stories. So they had one float for Pinocchio.
Deep.
Yeah, and one float for Jack and the Beanstalk, you know. And,
oh, cute.
And it's really beautiful. The floats are really beautiful and colorful, and it's a good parade is one where the theme is well executed.
Yeah, I'm sure you probably plan way, like maybe a year or two in advance, what your theme is going to be. Does it take a long time to prepare your crew for something like this?
Well, after tomorrow, you know, all of the crews have to begin looking at next year. In fact,
yeah.
Mardi Gras backs up a week next year. So we all have less than a year to go already, you know.
Wow.
But, yeah, the theme, coming up with the theme is a big thing, as most of the crews rent their floats from some of the float builders. So you kind of have to coordinate what the what props are available and stuff like that.
Oh, that's pretty interesting stuff. And how long have you been involved with Mardi Gras?
Well, I've been riding for 10 years with the Crew of Allah. It stands for Algiers, Louisiana. It was a group that was formed during the Great Depression on the West Bank of New Orleans, in New Orleans suburb Algiers. And then we moved our parade across the river last year to parade on St. Charles Avenue. And we had about 400 riders this year. Some of the crews are larger, and there are a few that are smaller. But, you know, we were a small close-knit group of guys,
mm-hmm.
and women. We took women in last year as well to broaden our appeal.
Oh, okay. Is that unusual to have women involved in the crews?
No. ALO used to be an all-male organization,
uh-huh.
and then there have been all-female organizations. There are probably about five really large groups. One, the largest, has 3,100 members, and it's all
wow.
male. And then there are several all-women's groups, which are about 1,500 each. And, you know, it's interesting to see what kind of, you know, how that plays out in themes and
yeah.
And how the organization is, you know.
Mm-hmm. That sounds pretty neat. You have a book with Buku that is The Captain and the Queen, and that is around the celebration in New Orleans. Can you tell us a little bit about that book and what inspired you to write it?
Sure. Most of the parading organizations will have a royal court, meaning they select a king and a queen, and they'll have maids. And traditionally, the maids are daughters of the riders who are making their debut to the community. So
uh-huh.
in The Captain and the Queen, the kings are older, you know, 40s and up, and the maids are usually high school age, high school and college age. In The Captain and the Queen, the captain, which, let me back up, that a captain is the leader of the carnival organization. He's the supreme leader, and he usually selects the royalty. And he's also responsible for everything with the parade, picking the theme, so on and so forth. Well, in The Captain and the Queen, the captain falls in love with the young lady that he selected as queen, who also happens to be his best friend's daughter. So there's a considerable age difference. He's about 44, she's 22 and getting ready to graduate from college.
Mm-hmm.
So there's you know, different. There are different phases of their life. He's a widower and lonely. And of course, is so into Mardi Gras that sometimes it gets in the way of his personal life. And, of course, she getting ready to graduate from college, you know, she's got her whole future ahead of her. She's studying to be a broadcast journalist. So she could end up anywhere in the country, you know, on television. So there's some challenges for him there, and then there's some disapproving family members that give him some trouble.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you've continued that story in with The Captain of Her Heart?
Yes. Part of the background story, the sub-story in the two books, is that he is, you know, the captain of a struggling crew that is at war with some of the larger groups who kind of take members from the smaller groups. So that's where the intrigue is in the story. And in the second book, she accepts a job as a reporter in New Orleans. But then when she goes to work for that TV station, there's an investigative journalist who falls in love with her. So
mm-hmm.
then she's got a little problem on her hands because it's kind of a triangle. And the investigative journalist also begins to investigate some of the shenanigans between the crew captains and city leaders. You know, New Orleans and Louisiana, unfortunately, has a reputation of having some unsavory political characters in its history.
Yeah.
Well, of course, that's
uh-huh.
everywhere, you know.
That's right. That's true.
Right.
Frank,
so
what drew you to write romance?
This is actually my second and third romance books. I did one
uh-huh.
Called Fame and Misfortune with another publisher before
uh-huh.
I discovered Boku. And it's an enjoyable genre for me. I'm known as kind of a sensitive guy, so
uh-huh.
I just it came naturally to me.
Mm-hmm. And how has that went with your, you know, your coworkers and your family? I mean, how supportive are they?
I have two extremely supportive coworkers, Jim and Gina, who have read all of my books as I was writing them. And they give me some guidance and some criticism. They're my beta readers. And they've had some really good ideas for all of my books. Of course, my wife would like me to write every night because she absolutely can't wait to read what I've written.
Right,
and,
right.
It can be a painful process, as you know.
So,
we're all having fun with this little side job, you know.
Yeah, pretty cool, pretty cool. You mentioned Fame and Misfortune. I just want to touch on that a little bit. That's about a man who loses weight and becomes fit. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
I drew a little bit of my personal experience on that. In fact,
mm-hmm.
17 years ago today, I changed my diet and lifestyle to try to lose weight because I was 325 pounds then, and
mm-hmm.
Now I'm 190. And it's
awesome.
It's a struggle to lose it and then to maintain it.
It is,
And Fame and Misfortune is about a guy who he grew up as a heavy child, but that he had met his wife when he was very young, and then he lost all the weight, breaks up his marriage because he goes off traveling the country being a fitness instructor, and he builds this fitness empire, and he forgets about what's important in life. And so it's kind of he finds out that the grass isn't always greener, that he lost all the weight and gained this, you know, fame and fortune, but he lost his family, which was much more important to him.
Right.
Right.
Right. I noticed too, I see it all the time in my news feed, you kill me with your baking. You are a really awesome baker. Can you tell me what drew you to that? I mean, you make some really beautiful, beautiful cakes.
Well, I have to credit my mother with that. Back in the 70s, she had a friend who took the Wilton baking course at a local community college.
Oh, okay.
And then my mother learned from her. So, and then I've learned from years of watching my mother do the cakes. For the listeners out there, it's the kind with the pastry bag, and you decorate these shaped cakes.
Mm-hmm.
White cake with an almond icing. And really, every time I bake, I am thrown to my childhood when my mother and I used to bake cookies, and I used to watch her do the cakes. And now having lost all the weight, I'm kind of a recovering foodaholic. I like baking it, and then I bring it to work.
To work,
give it away.
Yeah, I saw that. I was
people.
Like, wow, that's great.
Right.
That's great. There was something else I wanted to ask you. Oh, about the Mardi Gras with the Red Hot Authors. You have something coming up. You're going to be involved with them. Is that correct?
Well, I sent a bunch of postings and photos to Sable. She said to send it to her because she didn't know if I'd be in the streets on tomorrow.
Right.
But I am staying home tomorrow after all. So I look forward to seeing how that unfolds.
They're going to have some kind of little party on Facebook. Is that correct? Is that what they got planned?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, and so that'll be, I just want to name them off right now. It's Shyla Colt, Desiree Holt, Jody Redford, Renee Folsom, Kristen Lovell, Megan McMenemy, Randy Alexander, Sable Hunter, Ryan O'Leary, and Frank Bourne. So that'll be pretty fun.
It should be a lot of fun. Sable is
from
Louisiana and
knows
a lot about Mardi Gras as well. So.
Yeah. She said, Debbie, I think I've told you everything I know about Mardi Gras.
Right.
Because, I mean,
right.
It's just fascinating to hear about, I hope that one day, I'll be able to go and experience that. What do you have going on? What's next for you?
I need to write the third book for the Captain series. Forever Her Captain is the working title. I've written only one chapter so far, but I've been distracted with real life Mardi Gras and the holidays and everything. And I have a few more ideas, some of them Louisiana based. So I hope to get back to writing real soon.
That'd be great. Would you like to share your media links with the listeners?
Yes, I have a website, frankbourne.weebly.com. I'm on Twitter at Frank Bourne, and then I have a Facebook page. Author Frank Bourne is the handle.
Okay, great. Sounds good. Well, Frank, I just want to thank you for coming in tonight and chatting with me. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. You've educated me a little bit on Mardi Gras, and it's just been very enjoyable to chat with you, and I do appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. You have a good night.
All right. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye-bye.